Good morning, everybody, and thank you, Anna. Today, I would like to talk about a little bit about the organic rice, specifically in agronomy. I appreciate my colleague, Anna. She has set up, mentioned the context and which kind of the field, operation for the study. First of all, I would like to recognize my colleagues and Dr. Frank Hans, Xian Zhu, Anna McCollum, Xu Wang, Alan Talbert, Yu Zhonglao, Gao Huanlin, Joey Story, and Jason White. Without their input, we couldn't make this happen. And before I jump into specific results, I would like to give a little bit of background about the organic agriculture globally and the United States. From this the brief history of organic agriculture, we will feel organic agriculture is very young and new. And actually, in the past 2 days, yesterday and the day before, we had a very great workshop about the innovation of organic production. And we had the scientists from Australia, European, and from United States, and we shared a lot of information, all coming to, okay, takes time to digest. But if we look at the organic rice production acreage in North America, here we will see in the past 10 years, decades, the acreage increased quite a while, and also the consumer demand for organic for the organic food products increased linearly. So that means there are very strong demand for organic products. Just 2 weeks ago, I went to an rice festival held in Texas, and a couple of some villagers, they comes to me and say, okay, because we had some free organic products and to give away, they ask, okay, and is this product was produced locally or in the United States? I said, no, they are imported from other countries. So looks like we are very interesting, have the local, made in the United States, kind of products. So if we put both two slides together, we will see the difference, especially since 2008 and to 2014. The overall acreage for organic production was kind of stagnant or increased very slowly. But on the other side, the demand for organic products increased very strongly. That means more, encouragement or promotion for production is necessary. And here I just give a little bit more background about the rice production, organic rice production in the United States. In the United States, organic rice only had a little more than 50,000 acres in 2013. The major players were Texas and California. Even from this slide, we noticed more than about 10 states planted rice. It was a little surprise, even in New York, the excise for rice too. The conventional rice planted in the United States was around 3 million acres in 2013, so a small percentage for organic rice production. And the major challenges for organic rice production are very similar to other organic agriculture. nutrient, specifically nitrogen, management, disease, and weed control, and variety selection. Yesterday, I think Matt, he mentioned like breeders for organic. It's quite like, you know, rare and special for, because it's very new. So the major objective of this project, we want to look at cover crop, organic soil amendments, and variety selection, how they may affect rice production yield and the milling quality, and some disease severity. So this study, we had three major factors: cover winter cover crops, durian and clover, ryegrass, and fennel. We also, from previous primary study, we selected two soil amendments, nitrosif and rhizogen. Each had three different nitrogen levels, 0, 150 and 210. This kind of information we generated comparably from conventional rice production, but it was total nitrogen. Also, we had three varieties, Presidio, Tessonite, and hybrid XL723. We used a randomized with full replication. Now let's look at how this kind of treatment affect cover crop and the rice performance. And here we see the three cover crops had different, you know, biomass. We planted in October 2012 and sampled in February 2013. Ryegrass had the highest biomass yield, and then the fennel still had quite a volunteer weeds. So we also sampled. However, all these three cover crop treatment didn't affect the rice grain yield. And more or less, like, you know, we had all biomass from different, even from the fallow, so they may more or less affect, you know, the rice production. As Anna also mentioned in previous slide, and here I just repeat, you know, try to refresh some results. The Tessonite, the variety, had the highest impact on rice grain yield. Tessonite had the highest more than 10,000 kilogram per hectare, and hybrid XL723 had a good performance too, had more than 8,000 kilogram per hectare. The conventional yield for the hybrid XL723 was more than 10,000 kilogram per hectare and the conventional condition of production system. Similarly, for the Presidio, we had approximately like 6,000 kilogram per hectare, and compared to like a little bit more than 8,000 kilogram per hectare under conventional condition. So overall, the yield was not like previously, you know, some reported in north part, they had, for example, the wheat, they sometimes had a high yield even under organic situation. But here, pretty much a little bit lower than the conventional. We didn't see the big yield difference for both the selected soil amendments, nitrosif and the rhizogen. So this one indicates both had an equivalent in providing nutrient for the rice. So if we relate to these two, like some, and I discussed like arsenic issue, if so, we have choice to select like nature safe, it has a limited and no impact on arsenic content in rice grain. Nitrogen rate, we would expect significantly high yield and both levels, but we only thought significant increase and 210 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. That was really high because the cost for both soil amendments was really high, expensive. For example, the NatureSafe cost more than $1,900 per metric ton, and for the Rhizogen was more than $900 per ton. So very expensive. But we only saw a significant increase with the highest nitrogen rate. And the following couple of slides, I would like to talk about the milling quality. Because for rice producers, if they want to sell their grain, they need to mill it and get a grading, and then can be estimated for the premium price. So this is a very important index. And again, we saw some numerical difference in the cover crop impact, but we didn't see significant difference. And variety had a significant impact on the milling quality, and the Presidio had the highest, and the Tessalai had the lowest milling quality. And that's pretty much about the yield and the milling quality. And next I will talk about the disease impact. The main disease in rice is narrow brown leaf spot, brown spot, and sheath blight. Actually, the cover crop had a significant impact on the disease incidence. And the clover had the lowest, and the fallow had the highest. Also, the narrow brown leaf spots impacted, had the highest compared to the brown spot. Again, variety had the most significant impact. And for the Tessalai had the lowest, and the Presidio had the highest disease, narrow brown leaf spot and brown spot in 2013. Okay, just to give a short summary. So cover crop treatment had an impact on rice production, but just numerically. And the variety had a significant impact on rice grain yield and milling quality, disease, in all aspects of rice production, and both soil amendments had an equivalent impact on rice production. Nitrogen increased the nitrogen rate, increased the grain yield, but only at 210 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. Cover crop and variety select are very important for rice disease, but we didn't see much significant impact from the cover crop. So we will try to summarize data for this year and in the past 2 years and present to next AAS meeting. Some pending data about the soil quality and the greenhouse gas emissions. And I also want to appreciate the support from USDA and ORG program and my colleagues. With that, thanks for your attention.